This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. If you missed it earlier today, we had on a Hall of Fame running back in Terrell Davis. It was very popular earlier today on the text line. Text line has so many great memories of Terrell Davis. We also had Rodney Harrison, Chargers Hall of Famer, Patriots Hall of Famer. We will replay his interview at some point in the 5 o'clock hour because I think you guys should want to hear. He's on Sunday Night Football. There is actually a lot to get into over the course of the next hour. So I appreciate you listening. It's 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Rob, let's just start with this and then we'll get into the hits. Patrick Mahomes is a really busy individual, right? He's a new father. He is planning a wedding. He's a quarterback of a team. He's arguably the face of the NFL. Like, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have a whole lot of free time. He's also part owner of the Kansas City Royals, part owner of Sporting Kansas City. I'm sure he has some hand in what's going on with the KC Current. His fiance is a owner of that team. I'm sure he offers up some input. He also owns the Denver Broncos, too. He's 7-0 against the Broncos at his time as a starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. And what's really funny about what's happened with Kansas City and Denver is you've become the Broncos, and to some extent, they've become what the Chiefs used to be. I don't think the Broncos are a hapless organization. I don't mock them the same way I would mock maybe the Giants or the Jets. You know, just bad teams. Bad quarterbacks. They've been bad for a prolonged period of time. I don't really look at the Broncos in that same vein. But it wasn't that long ago that the Broncos were the blueprint. They were the creme de la creme, top shelf in the NFL. They went 50-14 over a four-year stretch. They went to 2 Super Bowls during that time and had 1 Super Bowl ring. The Broncos were arguably the second best franchise in the NFL behind the New England Patriots. They were elite. Once Peyton Manning ended, it sort of feels like the Broncos have ended. They haven't beaten the Chiefs since 2015, and the Broncos have just been in some mess. Remember the game we played earlier this week where it's been 22 starting quarterbacks since John Elway retired? How many can you name in 30 seconds? I mean, the last 10 quarterbacks from the Broncos have been an absolute disaster. You can't win in the NFL if those are the quarterbacks that you consistently throw out there. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is not bad by any means, but there's a low bar. Drew Lock, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rippon, Kendall Hinton. Let's not count that. It was a COVID start. Joe Flacco, Case Keenum, Trevor Siemian, Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch. We're just talking about since Mahomes has been in the NFL, these have been the quarterbacks for the Broncos. If you want to know why the Chiefs are the Chiefs and how they've transformed themselves to be the best franchise right now in the NFL, and why the Broncos are the Broncos, and they went from the penthouse to the second floor. There's four foundational pieces for any team in the NFL. Ownership, front office, so your general manager, your football evaluation people, your head coach, your coaching staff, and obviously talent, but I would say more specifically it's the quarterback position. The Broncos get an A at those four things. A-plus ownership group in Clark Hunt. A-plus front office with Brett Veach and what he's been able to do so far. A-plus coaching staff, continuity, and a Hall of Fame head coach. And they have arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. The Broncos right now have a lot of turmoil when it comes to ownership. No one knows who owns it. They used to be a proud franchise when it comes to the ownership group. Pat Bowlen passed away. Rest in peace. They're now trying to figure out which of his kids owns the team, and it's been a disaster. Look at their front office, their general manager. They let the most popular Bronco, maybe the most famous person in Denver, Colorado, run it. He wasn't that good at running it. We all mocked him and made fun of him. It got to the point where they had to find a new special assignment for him to do. Do you remember on Rush Hour when they had Carter do this, the G14 classified special assignment? That's what they gave John Elway. Have you seen John Elway yet? Ever since they transitioned him from general manager to team president, when you watch Broncos games, do they ever show him on the screen? Do they show him on the Jumbotron? Is he going to be there on Sunday? They basically told John Elway, please stay away. We'll pay you your $200,000, but please stay as far away from the team as possible. I can't give John Elway an F because you did win a Super Bowl with him as general manager, and he did attract Peyton Manning. But since Peyton Manning has left, he gets an F. Head coach. They've had multiple head coaches since the Super Bowl, and right now they have Vic Fangio. Now, I'm not that surprised that hiring a 60-year-old defensive-minded first coach in 2018 was a bad idea for the Denver Broncos. It was like we all knew that was going to be a bad deal. Hiring a 61-year-old for his first chance in the NFL and him not being a quarterback guru has not yielded great fruit for the Denver Broncos. It's been a disaster. They're about to fire him. We had a guest on earlier this week that said, even if they make the playoffs, he thinks that Vic Fangio is getting fired. Vic Fangio is simply buying time until his key card doesn't work anymore. At some point, you know, when you put it up to the door and it's supposed to turn green, but it doesn't turn green, that's going to happen to him. He's going to go there and his name's going to be off his parking spot, and they're going to fire him and find a new head coach. And then at quarterback, it's just been a disaster. Since Peyton Manning, it's been Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Drew Locke, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rippon, and Teddy Bridgewater. It's been a disaster. You want to know why the Chiefs are the Chiefs? Look at their four pillars. Look at what they've built their foundation on. You got a chance to win a lot of important games over the next 10 years because of that foundation. Look at why the Broncos are the Broncos and why they find themselves in NFL purgatory. You're not hopeful about your ownership situation. You're not hopeful about your head coach. You're not hopeful about your quarterback. You're not hopeful about your standing in the AFC and, more importantly, your standing in the division. I don't want to make it seem like the Broncos have no chance of winning this game, Rob. I know it might sound like that, but they got a chance. And this isn't like a pat on the back any given Sunday chance. The Broncos are 6-5. They beat the Dallas Cowboys 3 weeks ago and beat them pretty handedly. But if Kansas City goes out there and plays their brand of football, I don't think that the Broncos are equipped to beat Kansas City. I think Kansas City is a tier one football team. I think they're one of the five best teams in the league. I think the Broncos are a pretty clear tier three team. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I would never call them or consider them to be a bad team. They're going to have the 14th overall pick in this year's NFL draft is about where they are as a team. And that's good enough where going into next season, you can talk yourself into things, but it's also not bad enough for you to easily get your quarterback. You got to identify who it is and move up to the seventh overall pick to go get your quarterback. But the problem this year is that person doesn't seem to exist. You passed on Justin Fields. You chose to go defense. You passed on Mac Jones. You chose to go defense. So I don't want to use the term stuck with Teddy Bridgewater, but that's who your quarterback's going to be this season. And unless you get lucky and swing big on a Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson, you will likely have Teddy Bridgewater heading into next season. We'll get back to the Chiefs and Broncos coming up in a bit. But Rob, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Well, the hits are brought to you by our friends at Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio repair since 1967. Well, as you mentioned there, Carrington, Chiefs and Broncos is the biggest story in Kansas City, and the Chiefs have not lost to Denver since 2015. Hear what safety Justin Simmons had to say about his career against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, from a team standpoint, I guess the right word would be disappointing. You know, obviously I haven't beaten them since I've been here, and that's really the emphasis. And, you know, they got great players, and, you know, they're one of the best offenses in the league. Everyone knows that. But still, I think, you know, knowing the teams that I've had when we've played here, it's disappointing.
He used terms like disappointing when discussing this streak. Carrington, do you believe, with those quotes, the Chiefs going into Sunday in the streak have a mental edge over the Denver Broncos?
Oh, they 100% have a mental edge over the Denver Broncos. Rob, do you have an older brother?
I do not.
Okay. Do you have like an older cousin or?
I do, yeah.
So I'm sure with your older cousin, there was a video game or there was something that you competed against with your older relative. I remember my older half-brother, this was NFL Game Day 98. Maybe some of you remember that game. NFL Game Day 98. Oh, I thought I was good. I could beat all of my friends at NFL Game Day 98. But whenever I would go over to my half-brother's house, you know what would typically happen? He would beat the hell out of me in that game. But you know what happened one day? I eventually beat him. I eventually surpassed him. That's a crowning achievement and moment in my life. Justin Simmons, eventually you'll beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Eventually. I don't know if it's going to be Sunday, though. They're just better than you. Offensively, defensively, head coach, special teams, they're at home. They're just better than you. And that has to burn you up inside. You're an alpha male. You're an A1 competitor. You've never been able to beat a team in your division. Bradley Chubb has never beaten the Kansas City Chiefs. Every other team in the NFL that he's played at least twice, they have one win against, except the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what's so surprising about this rivalry and the way that it's turned, is the Raiders are competitive against Kansas City, right? Now, the Chiefs are better than the Raiders, and they've been better than them for about the last 15 years or so, but the Raiders are at least competitive. The Chargers are competitive. I know I get called Chargers Dot, but you guys know that the Chargers are competitive against Kansas City. The Broncos aren't competitive against Kansas City. They haven't played many good games against Kansas City since Peyton Manning has been gone. It's been very one-sided. One side has been Kansas. One side has been Missouri. That's basically what it's been since 2015.
Two.
Well, speaking of the Broncos against the Chiefs, why it's so one-sided is the Denver Broncos will be starting on Sunday. Teddy Two Gloves. Teddy Bridgewater will start for the Broncos this upcoming Sunday. Carrington.
You actually kind of like him.
I just like his nickname. Do you believe it's unfair that people consider him a generic game manager and comp him to former Chief Alex Smith?
This is what I think Teddy Two Gloves is. I think he's a Honda Accord. Now, I want to be clear. There's nothing wrong with the Honda Accord. A Honda Accord is a very reliable mode of transportation. It gets you from point A to point B. You know the motor's good. The transmission is good. It's not going to break down. The Honda Accord is a solid automobile. You know what eventually happens, though, when you have a Honda Accord? It's time for you to get another car, and you get something a little bit flashier. You're not pulling the girls in the Honda Accord. Nobody asks to see your car if you're driving a Honda Accord. You eventually want something with a little bit more pizzazz, a little bit more spark. Eventually, you get tired of the Honda Accord. That's what's eventually going to happen to the Broncos. But there's nothing wrong with having a Honda Accord. The Broncos last year had a very unreliable vehicle. Sometimes you might have a blown tire. Sometimes it might throw a rod. Sometimes you can't get to your destination. Right now, the Broncos have a quarterback that you can finish the season with a winning record with. And when you haven't done that since 2015, that has some value. I think it's going to be harder than Broncos fans think for the Broncos to improve at the quarterback position this offseason. Unless you get one of the big stars at quarterback, who's the best quarterback that's going to be available? Jimmy Garoppolo? Are the Broncos in a much better situation if Jimmy Garoppolo is their quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater is their quarterback? I think they're a little bit better. Are they better enough to beat Kansas City? I don't think so.
Three. Well, before we get to Sunday in the NFL and the Chiefs, we have a very busy Saturday in college football. We get Bama in Georgia, Cincinnati in Houston, Oklahoma State in Baylor, all with playoff implications on the line. Carrington, do you believe we will see for the first time a group of five team in the Cincinnati Bearcats make the college football playoff, or will some craziness ensue this weekend and keeps Luke Fickell's bunch out?
Rob, cut the beat. All right. We agree there's six teams that can go to the college football playoff, right? Michigan, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, Alabama, Georgia. That's the six, right? I'm not missing anybody that can go to the college football playoff.
That is the six.
One side of me wants Cincinnati to make it calmly and easily because I do think they've deserved it and proved it on the field. But I think we all know what's going to happen if Cincinnati makes a playoff. They're going to make them the four seed. They're going to have to play Georgia. They're going to get smoked by Georgia. And a majority of football fans are going to be like, see, I told you. I told you they weren't one of the four best teams. Well, a lot of teams would get smoked by Georgia. Have you been watching the SEC? They're smoking top-notch SEC teams. They're going to do the same thing to Cincinnati. Another side of me wants to see calamity and see what happens. Like, one side of me wants to see Oklahoma State win the Big 12, Michigan win the Big 10, Notre Dame win, Alabama win, and just see what happens. I think at a neutral site, I think that Oklahoma State would be favored over Cincinnati if they played tomorrow. I think they would be favored. I think Cincinnati is going to get in over Oklahoma State. But I think there's a strong argument if you're Oklahoma State, hey, look at who we've played. We beat Oklahoma. We beat Baylor in back-to-back weeks. We've played at an incredibly high level. And sure, we don't have the zero in the loss column the way that Cincinnati does. But our wins and our resume is more impressive than Cincinnati. I'm sort of rooting for calamity. I'm sort of rooting for chaos because that's kind of what the college football playoff system provides us, is chaos and conversation. But Georgia's in no matter what. Alabama's in with the win. Michigan is in with the win. I don't know if Cincinnati's in with the win. Let's say Cincinnati wins on a last-second field goal, and Oklahoma State blows out Baylor and wins that game 34-20, are we going to be convinced that Cincinnati's the fourth-best team in the country? Who has a better chance of beating Georgia, Cincinnati or Oklahoma State? I'd argue Oklahoma State has a better chance of beating them. I don't think they would beat them, but I think they have a better chance of beating them than Cincinnati does. I think the committee's in a really rough spot. But if Cincinnati goes undefeated and wins on Saturday, I think it's going to be nearly impossible to keep them out. I've been saying this, but if I'm Cincinnati and I don't make the playoffs and I went undefeated, I would sue them. I would sue the college football playoff. We've done everything you told us that we need to do, and right now we're the AP number two team. How do we not classify as one of the four best teams in the country? I would sue the committee if I was them. It's a really interesting argument in college football. We'll go back to the Chiefs here in a little bit. I don't know if the committee would do Oklahoma the way they could potentially do Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State could be left out as a one-loss Big 12 champion to an undefeated AAC team. Does anybody think they would do Oklahoma or Texas like that if they were the one-loss Big 12 team? It's easy to do little brother Oklahoma State that way. They would not do Texas like that. We think in a committee sense, they would take zero-loss Cincinnati over one-loss Texas. You're crazy if you think that would happen. Let's not kid ourselves about what the college football playoff is. It's a television show. What's better for your television show? Is it Cincinnati and Luke Fickell, or is it Texas or Oklahoma? I'd argue Oklahoma State, it just don't matter. Like, their fan base just isn't big enough. Oklahoma is a little bit different. That's what makes it such an interesting argument.
What's interesting to me about what you're saying is you are a guy who is anti the expansion of the playoff. Correct?
I am.
You are anti.
Well, hold on. Let me clarify.
That's fair.
I am anti 12 teams. There's not 12 teams in college football that have a legitimate argument to me. If we're trying to come up with a scenario in which Ole Miss is included, then what are we doing here? I'm not against 6 or 8. I'm not necessarily pushing for it. But if they said, hey, we're expanding to 6 teams, we're going to make sure that every Power 5 champion gets in and we'll include a wild card spot and we'll have 2 byes. I don't have any issues with that. I don't have any issues if they go to 8 and they incorporate home games. So, hey, if you're one of the 4 teams, your game's at home. Georgia gets a home game. Cincinnati gets a home game. You get a reward for what you've done over the course of the regular season. But 12 teams would just completely erase the importance of the college football regular season. And that's part of what makes college football so cool is their regular season games are playoff games. We knew that both Michigan and Ohio State couldn't go to the college football playoff. The winner potentially could, but the loser was eliminated. No one cares about seeding. Like, I know people are going to make the argument that seeding is so important. We do not care who the 2 seed is versus the 3 seed is in the NFL playoff. It's do you make the playoffs? And then from there, you got a 1-game win or go home mentality. We care who gets the bye. We don't care who's the 4 seed versus the 7 seed in the NFL playoffs. It does not matter to us. So to think that that's going to keep the intrigue of the college football regular season to me is a very silly argument. So I just want to be clear. I'm not for or against expanding the playoffs. I think it's fine the way that it is, but if they expanded to 6, I would not be up in arms about it. If they expanded to 12, I would think that they have ruined the college football season.
I was going to say, because I know anti-expansion was an unfair way to frame your point, but I was going to say, for someone who's saying they're going to do someone dirty based on name cachet and might do someone dirty who can't do anything about it in Cincinnati, it sounds a lot like you would be in favor of an expansion to 6 or 8. I'm with you on 12. 12 is too many. I don't want 12. Don't give me 16. Give me 64. None of that. 8. It sounds like this season could be a catalyst for people like you coming around, or people who are anti even any level expansion coming around to a 6 or 8 team playoff, because they screw someone on name cachet. That's stuff I can't say on the radio.
I would say that 6 is fair. I think 6 is fair. I don't know if there's ever really a season in which we could argue that 6 teams realistically can win the national championship. Like, it's not the NFL. Like, I think a lot of people try to imply NFL logic or pro sports logic to college. I don't think there is any team they could put in that 4 seed that would give Georgia a competitive game. I don't think there's any team that could do it. Not Cincinnati, not Oklahoma State, not Baylor, not Notre Dame. Any team that they could play in that 1-4 matchup would get smoked in that matchup. To me, we just want more football, not more good football. Because more good football would be lowering scholarships and not giving Alabama 85 scholarships, where kids come to the conclusion that it's better for me to back up at Alabama than start at Cincinnati. That team, to me, seems to be problem number one. And just financial, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. But that's problem number one. And until they fix that, the sport is just always going to be broken. They're not going to fix that. So I understand wanting to make it a little bit more fair. But there's no system that's going to create where there's 12 teams that can play a fair, fun, and competitive playoff. You can do that in the NFL because all the teams are even. Every team has a spending floor. Every team has a spending ceiling. You can trade picks. You can do this, that, and the third. That's not how college athletics is run. So I think it's a little bit of a futile exercise. Coming up on the other side, if you missed it, earlier today we had on Rodney Harrison of NBC Sports. We'll play the best of it for you next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to the Sunday slate. I'll give you the game I'm most looking forward to on Sunday, the matchup I'm most looking forward to, storyline, and I'll give you an upset, plus my official prediction for Sunday night football as the Denver Broncos head into town to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. But earlier today, we had the honor of being joined by Rodney Harrison. He is in the Chargers Ring of Honor. He is in the Patriots Ring of Honor. He also works for NBC Sports and Football Night in America. Our conversation with Rodney Harrison started with, would he like to see more Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the Chiefs passing game?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, even when Andy Reid was in Philly, he had Westbrook, who was an excellent receiver out of backfield. So it's known that Andy Reid likes his running backs to have the ability to catch the ball and make plays out of backfield. And the thing with him is he's so small and so powerful and has such great balance, it's so difficult to tackle him. So now you get him in open space, you know, he makes one guy miss. You need two or three other guys flowing to him. So he's just a very difficult matchup, and he keeps those chains moving forward.
Right now we're talking to Rodney Harrison, who does great work for NBC Sports and Sunday Night Football. We talk about how you saw this team against the Buffalo Bills, and now you're covering them this Sunday against the Broncos and the drastic change. I don't know if there's a bigger change than on the defense. You were a great defensive player. What do you make of this turnaround from this Chiefs defense?
Well, I think, number one, they've gotten a little healthier. And I think, number two, and probably the most important thing outside of health is they're back hungry. They're playing with passion. You can see they're flying around playing defense. Like, you think about what they did against the Cowboys. I turned on the tape, and I think the first two or three plays, they're blitzing. You know, the very first play of the game, I think Tyrann Mathieu comes out and he blitzes. But to me, that sends a message to your players. Like, coach is saying, Spagnuolo, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to come after these guys. We're going to show them different looks. And I love that because that's when I think they're at their very best. And I tell you this, man, I'm really pumped up about that secondary. You know, those secondary, you can say what you want. Those young guys, they fly around. They play hard. They compete. Yeah, they give up some plays. They make some mistakes. But a very good bunch that you can continue to, as a coach and as other players, to build around. I really like that secondary.
There's been a couple of changes I've noticed with the defense, and I'm sure if it pops up for you on the film. Number one, once they made the switch from Daniel Sorensen to Juan Thornhill, I think you've really seen a more athletic, better secondary. I also think they're doing a much better job of getting after the quarterback than they did the last time that you got a chance to really watch this team when they played the Buffalo Bills. Chris Jones is playing at a really high level. He's healthy. Frank Clark is healthy. He's playing at a high level. And I really like the addition of Melvin Ingram.
Yeah, no doubt. Those guys are playing outstanding up front. And really, Chris Jones is the guy that sets the tone. I mean, he's the guy when I was there last time. You know, we had a chance to interview him and hang out with him, and he's a big load of fun, great personality, good person. But when he's on that football field, he dominates, and those other guys feed off of him. But you look at all the young linebackers back there, they're starting to play better, taking better angles, coming up there, forcing the run, making tackles, you know, just doing the things that they're supposed to do. And you know, you talk about in the secondary, Juan Thornhill is the future. Daniel Sorensen, he's a guy that can come in and replace those guys. But at the end of the day, he's not better than one of those two safeties, Tyrann Mathieu or Juan Thornhill. Let those guys play. Juan is an up-and-coming safety. He's very athletic. He's smart. If he can stay healthy, he's going to be a Pro Bowl safety.
When you watch Thornhill, what do you see on film?
I see a kid that has natural instincts, a good athlete, and a kid that's learned a ton from Tyrann Mathieu. If you're around that amount of greatness mentally and physically and all that experience Tyrann Mathieu brings and the passion in which he plays, and you can't get pumped up, you can't learn from that, then something's missing. But you can tell when you watch him play that he's learning a lot from Tyrann.
Right now we're talking to Rodney Harrison, former Patriot, former Charger. He's in the Hall of Fame for both organizations, joining us to take a look at Chiefs and Broncos on Sunday Night Football. I want to ask you about Tyrann Mathieu, because there's been a lot of conversation about Tyrann's future in Kansas City and should you lock him up long term. I think one pushback people have is paying a safety past the age of 30. You played until the age of 36 years old and still played at a relatively high level. How do you feel about Tyrann's ability as he continues to get older?
Well, if I was Tyrann, if I had a chance to talk to him, I'd tell him like this: look, bro, you're in a great situation with Kansas City, and I know you want to get paid. Maybe they can't pay you $15. Maybe they can't pay you $15 million a year, but maybe you guys can agree at $9 or $10 million a year. That would be something that he has to look at and say that he's comfortable with. But ultimately, if you want to retire with the organization and you're an older player and you got a young safety and you got some other young guys in the secondary, you can't, you know, as a veteran player, you can't eat off the bone too much. You got to make sure that it's comfortable within the organization, that you can still fit in salary-wise, and then you can be there and possibly finish your career there. But if I'm Tyrann, it just depends on where his priorities at. Maybe he's at this stage and point in his career where he wants to do something different. He wants to experience maybe the NFC or something like that. But maybe he says, you know what, I've made plenty of money, I'm financially set, I'll finish my career with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's something that I would do, especially playing for Andy Reid, the way he takes care of players, Patrick Mahomes. You know you're going to always be right there competing. So if it's me, just like I did, I took a little less money to come win some Super Bowls, and the rest is history.
Keeping it with the offense and kind of your evaluation of the team, a lot has been made about this blueprint to figure out Kansas City, and a lot of it has been kind of centered around two high safeties, don't let anything get behind you, don't let any big plays happen, and kind of keep everything in front of you. As you watch film and evaluate this offense, what are you seeing maybe differently this season versus what we've seen the last two or three years with Mahomes in this offense?
Well, I'm not going to get into comparing various times. The main thing here is what Patrick Mahomes has to do. You know, he's used to being able to come out and just sling it down the field, and defenses take notice of that. So they say, you know what, we're going to force you to take the long, hard way. We want you to go on extended drives, 8, 10, 12 play drives, and see if you can do that. See if you have enough patience, because they know how anxious Patrick Mahomes is for the big play. So now he has to adjust his game. He has to be a little bit more patient, finding Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of the backfield, short, quick passes, nothing like that. Because eventually, if he can really instill that in him, getting rid of that ball quick, just picking up the 5 or 6 yards, that's going to frustrate defenses. And defenses are going to start bringing that safety down, and then that's what's going to open up those shots down the field. And that it comes down to Patrick Mahomes being a young quarterback, learning how to mature and really evolve in his game in terms of patience. And that's what I see, and that's what he needs to continue to do.
You watch and follow and cover this league every single week. I can't think of a season that has been unpredictable as this one. One week, you're riding high. The next week, you're losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're losing to the New York Jets. Who do you like in the AFC? Because it's been really hard to see that cream sort of rise to the top.
Well, everyone, you know, like when the Chiefs were struggling, I was always getting that question. And I always kept saying, the Patriots, the Chiefs. The Patriots, the Chiefs. Why? The Chiefs, I'm always with the Chiefs. Why? Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. You know those guys? They're very competitive. Eric Bieniemy, smart, competitive guys. And you know that defense. That defense, if people ask me, well, is it talent? No, it's not talent on the defensive side of the ball. They have talent. But when you have an offense that you're used to putting up 30-something points, you take them for granted as a defense. And now that defense is starting to say, our offense isn't the same, so we got to start stepping our games up. Look around. Look at the talent we got. Look at Melvin Ingram. Look at Frank Clark. Look at Chris Jones. Look at all the plethora of talent that we have. Now they're utilizing it. They're back playing aggressive. And when you play aggressive, you have fun on defense. And that's what you see on tape. Them guys flying around, having fun, and winning ball games.
We were talking about this with the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holsis, earlier in the week, that the AFC is going to regret not knocking Kansas City out. Kansas City stumbled out of the gates, and when you have a champion down, and you know this well, just given your time in New England, you got to keep them down. But the AFC, no one's really run away with it and created that separation, and it's allowed Kansas City the time to kind of figure itself out and find itself, that now they find themselves firmly right back in the mix and arguably the best team in the AFC.
You're not gonna keep a team like the Chiefs down. You're not, because they got too many dogs on that team. They got too many guys, you know, going to Super Bowls, competitive guys, guys that have championship pedigree. You're not gonna have those guys lay down. Plus the coaching staff. When you've had that level of success, it's a natural tendency for everyone to kind of relax a little bit. They got humbled. They've got their butts kicked. They've gotten embarrassed at times in this season. Now you see Patrick Mahomes. He's starting to adjust. You see the offense. And I'm telling you, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's going to be the one that takes all the pressure. I'm taking the pressure off of Patrick Mahomes, because if they play that two-shell, Andy Reid, stay patient, run the ball 30, 40 times, and just milk the clock, wear him down physically with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that should be the game plan. And force that safety, force Justin Simmons, force Kareem Jackson into that box.
That is Rodney Harrison of Sunday Night Football joining us earlier on the show today. If you want to hear the interview in its entirety, please be sure to check it out on the Odyssey app or on 610sports.com. Coming up next, we'll get into the Sunday slate game I'm most looking forward to, storyline, matchup. I'll also give you my upset plus an official prediction of Sunday Night Football. That's all next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6. Get off my bumper. Traffic.
Sponsored by Allstate on the Kansas side, eastbound I-70, just before 635. Got a stalled vehicle there, lots of equipment around it, and you're backed up to Turner Diagonal. Southbound 71, stop and go, south of Dr. King Boulevard, eastbound 70. Hitting the brakes at the stadiums, and northbound 470. No recovery from earlier problems. Still slow at 291. You may have heard that Allstate has new low auto rates, but isn't it time to see for yourself? Visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. I'm Jay Edwards, 610 Sports Radio. Get off my bumper, traffic.
Sunday Slate.
You guys know how we do the Sunday Slate game, storyline, matchup, and also upset this Sunday in the National Football League. This week is tough because I think the game of the week is actually on Monday. I think the most important NFL game up to this point in the season is Monday Night Football, New England at Buffalo. I can't wait for it. Are they doing the Manning cast for that one?
I honestly don't know. I believe so, though, right? Because they took the 3 weeks off.
If they're not doing the Manning cast for that one, what's the point of the Manning cast?
Would you want to Manning cast that one? That one seems like a straight up.
I mean, I'm not going to watch the Manning cast, but I mean, I think it could get 2 million people to watch. Like, I think Monday is a massive game. I hope that they end up doing it. I'm going to give my game of the day. I'm going to go a little bit off the board here, Rob. I'm going to go Arizona at Chicago for this reason.
Ooh.
I'm going to go for this reason. The one seed in the NFC is so competitive. You can make a case that five different teams could be the one seed in the NFC. Does this not feel like a game that Arizona could lose? DeAndre Hopkins didn't practice today, but it appears Kyler Murray could be coming back. We haven't seen Kyler Murray in a while. If you lose that game, it's just going to be really tough to grab that one seed. Right now in the NFC, Arizona's 9-2, Green Bay's 9-3, Tampa Bay's 8-3, Dallas is 8-4, the Rams are the top wildcard team at 7-4. It's just so competitive for that one, and this feels like one of those trap games you go on the road and every team has kind of gotten bit in that space. I'm going to pick that to be my game of the week. I'm going to go a little bit off the board here and pick Arizona at Chicago.
I'm going to stay in the main lane here and pick Bengals and Chargers as my game of the week. Going on this game, I was pretty confident the Chargers can get right and we'll kind of figure out what the Bengals are. But after having Daniel Popper on our whip around earlier today, when he said the season is on the line and he would take the under on 9.5 for the Chargers and he covers the team, I started getting puzzled. If the Chargers season is on the line, they're in must-win mode. Simultaneously, the Bengals. Do any of us believe the Bengals are for real? If you go out and beat Justin Herbert and co. at home, I think we have to start talking about the Bengals as a real threat in the AFC and not just a cute story that keeps dominating the hapless Steelers. My game of the week, Bengals and Chargers.
Matchup of the week for me is going to be Lamar Jackson going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Lamar Jackson has not played well the last 6 weeks of the season. His completion percentage is under 60. This year, he has 12 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. I think that Baltimore is starting to be weighed down by the amount of injuries that they have over the course of the season. And going into Pittsburgh, I don't think the Steelers are good. But this is still a classic AFC North matchup. These two teams always play each other well. This is physical. And the way that Pittsburgh got embarrassed last week, you know they're going to bounce back and play with a lot more fight and intensity than they showed last week. I think this is a really interesting matchup. My matchup of the week is going to be Lamar Jackson going up against Pittsburgh's defense.
My matchup of the week is Scary Terry with the Washington football team going up against the Las Vegas Raiders secondary. Some people don't believe Scary Terry is a top 15 receiver in the NFL. He 100% is. He's incredible. Due to Instagram posts and roster attrition, the Raiders secondary has been pretty blah the back half of the season. If Scary Terry can get it going and make Taylor Heinicke look like a viable quarterback, that's a playoff team, and we could be seeing the Raiders Raider. I'm looking for Scary Terry against that Vegas secondary as my matchup of the week.
I'm going to go again off the board here for my storyline of the week, and I'm going to give my storyline to the week to the Detroit Lions. I think this is the most winnable game they have the rest of the season. After this, they go on the road against the Broncos, home against Arizona, on the road against the Falcons, on the road against the Seahawks, and home against the Packers. If they lose this week, Rob, what game do you see them winning? Can you pick this Lions team to go on the road and beat anybody? I would say the answer is no, and the remaining home games are Arizona and Green Bay. Now, maybe they get Green Bay because Green Bay will sit everybody and play for seeding and play for rest as opposed to trying to win that game, but this is the most winnable game that the Lions have for the rest of the season. I'm sure people have already started having the conversation. Can they go 0-17? I guess they could go 0-16-1 because they have the tie against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think this is the most winnable game they have. I'm going to give my storyline to the Lions. And can they get off of the Schneid?
I'm going to give my storyline to Russell Wilson. Now, we heard about when he had the hand injury. He was out there doing the simulated game. And for some reason, he told people he was rehabbing for 19 hours a day, which included some cardio. It was all nonsense. But since being back, he's been bad. Lit Russ Cook has been just sour, foul, something you don't want to eat. The Niners are red hot. If Russell Wilson struggles at home and continues to not get the ball to DK Metcalf, their top wide receiver, the conversations about what Russ's future is are going to get louder and louder. I think his time in Seattle is limited no matter what, and I think they need him to play and play well to enhance his trade value, because if he tanks down the stretch, it will hurt things. Russell Wilson, is he going to start cooking again? He's my storyline of the week.
I'm going to give my upset pick to the week for the Giants at +6. What have the Dolphins done to be 6 or 6.5 points better than any other team in the NFL? I'm going to give the Giants +6, +6.5, depending on where you're betting. The over-under on that one, Vegas thinks there's going to be no point score. The over-under is 39 in that game. Like, Vegas is not high on that game, but I'm going to give my upset pick to the Giants. Give me +6 against the Dolphins.
What, they expect like a 28-10 win? Goodness yeah. gracious. I'm going to say my upset pick of the week is the one you mentioned earlier. The Detroit Lions are feisty. They gave the Vikings one scare earlier this year in Minnesota. It took a little bit of Kirk Cousins' magic. He had to get out of his little dome of plexiglass to go make some plays. This team's at home. They're on the long week, and they're getting 7 points. My upset of the week, Dan Campbell's kneecap NARS, +7 at home against the Minnesota Vikings.
That's my survivor pick. I'm a little bit on edge. I'm just going to always fade the action of the Detroit Lions. That's been a good, safe bet so far. I think the Chiefs win. I think that Denver's defense is going to be a little bit surprising to people because I do think their defense is capable. And as much as I think the Chiefs are back, I don't think back means just blowing teams out and just running over teams with their offense. I'll pick the Chiefs to win this game 27-14. So that feels about right to me. I do think they cover. I do think they win this comfortably. I think this game is a little bit closer in the mid-third quarter than people will like for it to be. But I do think Kansas City wins on Sunday.
I think Kansas City wins as well. I agree with everything you said. I don't think they cover, though. Chiefs offense continues to be kind of an enigma, and the Broncos defense is good. You might chew on your fingernails a little bit on Sunday, Chiefs fans. I got them 28-21 over Denver. They win, but they don't cover.
That is my guy, Rob Brenton. I'm Carrington Harrison. Coming up after me is Jay Binkley. Bink at Night up next. I'll catch you guys on Monday. Mahomes and Mitch Holtis. But you know what? I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.